This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be taking a look at how Sarawak is managing the COVID-19 pandemic with Dr. Kelvin Yee, Member of Parliament for Bandar Kuching. But right now, we're taking a look at another interesting element to this story, because most companies worldwide will now not be able to evade the toll of the COVID-19 pandemic. Supply chains, consumer spending, production, investment have all been severely impacted by the outbreak. And as such, many companies are facing significant challenges navigating the outbreak and fulfilling existing obligations.
And because of this, the force majeure clause has been increasingly been a topic of conversation. Now, force majeure clauses enable certain relief for parties in a contract in the event that something unforeseeable and uncontrollable happens, preventing them from fulfilling that contract.
So to find out more about this, we have on the line with us this morning Datuk Muhammad Arif Imran Arif, Dispute Resolution Partner at Wong & Partners. Thank you for joining us, Dato' Imran. So would a force majeure clause cover COVID-19, or is that dependent on the individual and respective contracts?
Thank you for inviting me. Well, for you to say whether or not a force majeure will be applicable, it depends on whether the terms under the contracts clearly provide whether force majeure is applicable in the circumstances that we are in. For your listeners' benefit, I think I will need to summarize what is meant by force majeure in accordance with Malaysian law. Generally, this is a doctrine that has its roots in French law that was incorporated into contracts. It is not a common law right, neither is it a statutory right under the Contracts Act. So for a party to rely on force majeure, there must exist a term in the contract that either allows a party or both parties to be excused from the performance of the contract, either in whole or in part, or is entitled to suspend the performance or the extension of, or provide for the extension of time for performance upon happening of the specified event. So whether or not a force majeure is applicable to the circumstances that we are in, to any particular company or to any particular individual, we must first check, number one, if there is a clause that provides for the events such as that we are facing today. For example, if the contract provides for pandemic, act of God, or even a decision of government that will make the performance of the contract either impossible or could render the performance delayed in a, or be suspended, then it may be applicable. So to answer your question, I would have to say it depends on the terms of the contract itself. If the contract is, if there is a force majeure clause in the contract that is wide enough or sufficiently specific to the facts that that we face today, it may be applicable.
And Dato' Imran, tell us, right, what you've been seeing. How common are such clauses?
Well, if you look at the standard terms contract in your banking instruments, in the big conglomerates, usually there are force majeure clauses. They will provide for circumstances like act of God, war, flooding. These are particularly clearly provided in your insurance contracts. They are common. But the only problem is that whether force majeure applies, whether the circumstances that we are in could be considered as an event that is applicable and is within the scope of the contract. So one will have to determine based on the terms that appears in the contract and the facts that we face today, and the contract itself, what kind of performance you are talking about. So if those circumstances fulfill the test, then it will be applicable. Because this is, at the end of the day, it's an objective test that the courts will determine based on the words that appear in a contract.
So, Dr. Imran, has there been an increase in people triggering force majeure clauses due to COVID-19? What have you seen so far?
Well, at this moment in time, it is a bit early to say whether there's been a large increase or there's a lot of people who have triggered more force majeure clauses. What I can say that we have received a lot of interest, queries, questions by clients, questions by friends, questions by family members, as to how force majeure would be applicable. There are concerns, especially in the supply chain, whether or not they can actually fulfill their obligations. And in particular, where there's a lot of the supply chain today derives products, services internationally. We see a lot of clients who have to deliver products from China to various other jurisdictions, even from Malaysia to various other jurisdictions, that face problems because of the mandatory orders not allowing employees to come in for work. But you have to bear in mind that this may not be applicable in all circumstances, because certain services can still be undertaken. Let's say a contract for service for IT instrument, H3 services can still be delivered even when employees work at home. So it depends on the circumstances and the facts of each case. So I have to say there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of people asking about force majeure, but to say that there's a big uptake, is I can't really say now, but I won't be surprised if after the MCO there's a lot of disputes concerning force majeure.
And what remedies does a party have if they invoke force majeure?
Well, if they invoke force majeure, the remedies are usually provided under the terms of the contract. Usually they will provide for three. Number one, if the parties clearly drafted in the agreement that it says that force majeure would terminate the contract, then that will be applicable. Either alternatively, sometimes force majeure says in the certain circumstances, you can then ask for an extension of time. That sometimes can be automatic, sometimes can be with the consent of the other side. The third one is suspension. Sometimes it suspends the contract until such a time that the event stops. And you see that in a lot of the standard terms contract, and if you look at the precedents in Atkins, in all the contract law textbooks, these are the three usually most common remedies available. So, like I say, it's a contractual right. It's a contractual term. So it is not provided in common law, but parties must clearly provide that in the agreement.
So help us put it into context. What kind of impact would there be to business relations and economic activity due to, say, a widespread triggering of force majeure clauses?
If there's a wide triggering of force majeure clauses, a lot of contracts will be impacted. Parties will then face consequences like, you know, if, let's say, it's successfully raised, then some services, some production will be stopped. In other words, if the force majeure clearly says that in the event that X arises, the parties can unilaterally terminate, that automatically means that the contract is terminated. But it depends on the terms itself. Sometimes it only suspends the performance until the force majeure stops. Sometimes it gives a right for an extension of time, so it merely delays. But even suspension, even delay, it will cause some ripple effect in the whole chain, because a lot of these contracts are back-to-back, and you will see a lot of issues arising as a result of this. Not all these contracts have force majeure, and some of these contracts or contractual relationships are not written. One part of it is written, another part of it is due to the long-term relationship between parties. So I can see that if there's a lot of triggering of these circumstances of force majeure in the business relationships, it will create a ripple effect in the economy.
And Dato, do you think that Malaysia should have a COVID-19 bill like Singapore?
Well, that's quite interesting, because if you look at Singapore, the law that they have just enacted, which is a temporary manner, is important for the economy in Singapore. The key measures of the Singapore Act provide a temporary relief from the inability to form certain contracts if it is shown that the non-performance is caused by COVID. And it also gives a temporary measure to prevent winding up insolvency provisions for certain individuals, for certain threshold of companies. to ensure that the businesses and affairs are revived to take into account the COVID pandemic. But it's not just that. Singapore has also undertaken a specific provision to allow any disputes that arises as a result of COVID not to go to court, but to a special tribunal without lawyers. And the parties would then have to decide on their own to show to this special tribunal that, in fact, the business that they're in, the contractual relationship they're in, becomes difficult or cannot be performed as a result of COVID-19. That's quite interesting. The other thing is also the Singapore government is wise enough to see that court proceedings, arbitrations, are to be undertaken through e-hearing and online. And it created a special act for this. I think if you look at the Las Sabah Law Society statement, I think a few days ago, they themselves have suggested that we do this as well. And I think the Malaysian government should do it, because the circumstances that we are in is out of the ordinary, and not all contracts have force majeure. So we do have to take this into account and maybe enact something to the effect.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dato' Imran. That was Dato' Mohamed Arif Imran Arifin of Wong and Partners, giving us a bit of insight into force majeure clauses, what they are, how common they are, and what would happen if we did start to see almost like an avalanche of force majeure clauses being triggered after the MCO ends and as this outbreak continues.
Yeah, but there is no one-size-fit-all solution. I mean, because you really have to go back and check your own respective contracts, whether it is provided for. And ultimately, you have to go and see your lawyer, because only they would know, right, whether there is in the first place a force majeure and whether you can actually, use it.
Yeah, because there are a lot of industries that are being really quite pressed as a result of the movement control order, because workers are not allowed to go to construction sites, for example. So a lot of properties are now stuck. So REDA, for one, has called for a COVID-19, a temporary measures bill similar to the one in Singapore, so that players wouldn't be penalised for being unable to fulfil contractual obligations, and I guess to get some relief from any potential late charges that they may incur as a result of this prolonged period of inactivity.
Yeah, I think the other thing is that it's just very practical. Rather than everybody going to courts, right, to try and fight it out there, come up with a bill, saves everybody time and money.
Yes, because that this is going to be a problem regardless of really how long it takes, because we've already been under this movement control order for a month. Now, up next, though, we're going to be taking a look at how Sarawak is managing the COVID-19 pandemic, speaking with Dr. Kelvin Yee, Member of Parliament for Bandar Kuching. But right now we have the 9:30 News Bulletin up for you, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.